Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, stage one is understood. If the woman comes to me and says, Sheikh, I did have a fixed period of menses, but I forgot how long. I'm not sure if it's 6 or 7, and I'm not sure if it's in the beginning or the middle or in the end. In this case, if she knows the period, 6, 7 days, we tell her, okay, the 7 days, you always do it from the first of the month. Regardless, whether you had it in the middle or at the end, consider it to be from the beginning of the month. If she says, I don't know how many days, and I don't know when, in this case, we go to stage two. And stage two is to identify through observation. And what does that mean? Scholars say that the blood of menses and the blood of a vein or normal blood differ. One, the blood of the menses is darker. It's almost black. And the blood of the vein is red. Two, the blood of the menses smells, has a bad smell. The normal blood has no smell unless you're a werewolf. Three, the blood of the menses usually comes but accompanied with aches in the back and in the stomach, while the normal bleeding does not have these characteristics. And finally, four, the blood of the menses, I don't know what is the medical term for it. If a person bleeds, the blood would turn into clot. But the blood of the menses does never ever turn into clot. It keeps on being in the state of fluid. So I don't know what is the medical term for that, but you know what I mean, inshallah. So these are the four differences, and that is why scholars say, if a woman does not know the length of her period or when it begins, she is instructed to observe. If she notices that the color has changed and the aches are there, we tell her, khalas, this is the beginning of your menses. Once the color changed back into lighter and no smell, and she has no pains, we tell her, take your bath and consider the rest to be the bleeding of a vein. Understood, inshallah, stage two. Move on to stage three. If a woman says, the whole blood looks alike, and I don't have aches, or I'm always in ache and pain the whole month, and I'm unable to differentiate what to do, in this case, the scholars say she has to follow her sisters, her aunts, her mother, because usually in the same family, those who have sisters, they notice that two or three of the sisters have their menses at the same time. Sometimes the whole ladies, the mother maybe as well. So in this case, she is told to take or follow suit. When both of her sisters or her mother and sister have their periods, she considers herself to be with them. Once they are purified, she considers herself to be purified. She take a ghusl and that would end her menses. Now, how does a woman know if she's purified or not? There is what is known as the white discharge, a thread, white thread-like discharge that women generally get. After the menses is over, they have or they see or they detect this white thread-like discharge. And some part of the women don't have this, yet they know it through what is known as dryness. Once her menses is over, I'm not talking about istihada now. I'm talking about the regular menses of 7 days or 8 days. How would she know that she is purified and she can take ghusl and pray? By either seeing the white thread-like discharge, or if she does not get this, by the purity and the dryness, the complete dryness, where she does not see any traces or yellowish or brownish color at all. So this, inshallah, is as a summary, what is regarded to be related to the menstruation and to the field of istihada. Let's take your questions, whether regarding this topic or any previous topic.
In the last hadith, you mentioned that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent for the whole of mankind, and you clarified that he was also sent for the jinns. Since the mankind have the law of the Sharia, which has been given to us by the Prophet, what law do the jinns have to follow? Do they have to follow any laws?
Most likely, they follow the same law as we do, because the Prophet was sent to them, the Quran was revealed to him and conveyed to them, as mentioned in the Quran, that we've revealed to you, O Prophet of Allah, that there were a number of jinn listening to you, and once they heard the message, they went back to their people and gave them da'wah. And then the Prophet ﷺ also met an envoy from the jinn, Nusaybin, and he spoke with them and he gave them what to eat and what not to eat. They requested halal meat, and the Prophet told them that every single bone you will find that was mentioned the name of Allah, which we eat and throw, you will find it as much as full of meat for you. And the dung of the animals would be the food for your animals. The dung we have from the animals, you know, from the cows, etc., it would be the food for the animals of the jinn. So we believe that they have their own Sharia, but is it exactly similar to us? This is something we cannot verify, and it is something that does not add value to us. See, always focus on the questions that get you closer to Allah. When someone says, the dog that was with the people in the cave, was it a German Shepherd? Was it a Doberman? Was it a Bulldog or a Chihuahua? One would say, Akhi, why are you asking these questions? Would this draw us closer to Allah? When someone says that the star that Ibrahim saw, was it Venus, Mars, or any other planet? Allah did not tell us. Why should I pay any attention? The straws that Zachariah and his people threw so that they would take Maryam into their custody, what was it made of? Was it made of wood? Was it made of this? Was it made of that? All of this is irrelevant to us as Muslims. It doesn't draw you closer to Allah. Therefore, we refrain from asking questions that would not add value to us, because this is the doing of the philosophers. They sit and say, imagine that this is not water, it's tea. Yeah, but it is water. No, imagine if it's not so. And imagine if the tea is not green, it's black. Why should I imagine this? I have enough problems to imagine. So such questions, we try our best to focus on what benefits us most. Any more questions? Yes, brother.
If it once told Aisha Raziyallahu Anha that my eye sleeps, but my heart doesn't sleep. A section of the people, they quote this hadith by saying that the Prophet is still amongst us, by referring to this.
This hadith was in a specific incident, and that is when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep and then woke up and went to pray Fajr without performing wudu. And when Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, told him that, I heard you snore, so how can you go and pray? He said, my heart does not sleep while my eyes sleep. This is while he's alive. But no one dares and say that the Prophet ﷺ did not die. Those who claim that the Prophet is alive in his grave and he hears us and he talks to us, and not only that, they go the extra mile. They say he comes out and he goes and roams the whole universe and the earth, and he listens to people. And those who make mawlid, they have in their mawlid glasses of water and food. And when you ask him, what is this? They say, this is a blessed food, because the Prophet comes and his spirit comes over it. So we cure the ill with this food and this water. What is this? If you tell them that the Prophet died, no, he's not dead. He's alive in his grave. If he's alive in his grave, get him out. If he's alive, let's get him out. Can we get him out? No, we can't. Why? If he's alive, he's not alive our life, in the sense that he does not eat and drink and goes to the toilet and has intercourse with his wife. Because this is alive. But he is in a transitional period known as al-barzakh. And in al-barzakh, he's alive. He's enjoying paradise. He is having all the favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. He goes to the heavens, he goes to his grave. All of this is authentic and approved. But we cannot say that he hears us or he knows what we're doing, because he said in the highest degree and level of hadith, which is known as mutawatir, I will be the first to come to the hawd, to the pond. And there will come people of my followers from my ummah, but the angels would reject them. And I would complain, Rabbi, ummati, ummati. And they would tell me, or Allah would tell me, you do not know, underline, you do not know what they have innovated after your death. And this is the punchline. You do not know, meaning when you were in your grave, you do not know what these people did. Why? Because you're dead. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, you are going to die, and they are going to die as well. Therefore, we should make this clear. The Prophet died, alayhi salam. The companions washed him. The companions prayed funeral prayer. The companions buried him. So whoever claims that he's alive and he did not die is not a proper Muslim, and Allah knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.